Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Randy Withers. Welcome back to another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. Your best option, especially on the 4th of July, for the latest in KU football and basketball news. I'm going to be joined today by our man Shay Wildebor, who is coming in on location from the Air Show in downtown Kansas City. He's going to join us here in a little bit. Joining us right now is the man who is the most tenured reporter on the Kansas football beat anywhere in the country, Mr. John Kirby, publisher of Jayhawk Slant. John, happy 4th of July. How are you today?
Happy 4th to you. Well, I'll tell you what, when we get done with this podcast, I'm going to start seeing how well I'm doing because my son and his friends, I think, just bought a few hundred dollars worth of fireworks. So we're going to see how 18-year-olds can handle putting on their own fireworks show.
John, you might have to count some fingers.
Well, I know. They're going to have to count some fingers.
No doubt. I hope you've reached out to all their parents and have said, hey, whatever happens, I have nothing to do with this.
Hey, I told, I don't know, about a year or two ago, somebody over a block away, I remember they got fined, I think it was like $500 or something like that. And then I know Shay, I've talked to Shay about 4th of July, and he's always like, hey, no fireworks here, because Shay got fined. And I'm sure we'll talk about that with him, but he got fined on 4th of July not too long ago, so he just doesn't shoot them off anymore. But I told my son, I said, hey, you can shoot fireworks off. You're just not going to shoot them off here.
See, and that's the thing. Like, you guys live in on the Kansas side. It's different. I live over here kind of in the downtown area in the old Northeast on the Missouri side, and it is, you know, basically, I would say Friday, things started getting blown up, and it'll be a war zone basically through tomorrow night. And then, you know, there'll probably still be some stuff getting exploded on Tuesday too. It's kind of the Wild West over here. My dogs can't stand it. My cat just kind of, you know, she just kind of shrugs it off. It doesn't faze her, but it's, with the way the holiday fell this year, I bet there will be more trips to the emergency room this 4th, especially coming off a global pandemic, than one any in the last couple decades.
Yeah, you just got to be careful. I know I've certainly done my fair share of shooting off fireworks in my time with an adult beverage close by too, which even makes it a little more interesting, a little bit more dangerous.
Oh yeah, that ups the stakes considerably when you have a libation or two entering into the equation. You know, talking about fireworks and excitement, and we want to take a minute to wish everybody out there, you know, have a great 4th of July. Enjoy this time with your friends and family. Be safe, like we're talking about. But we've got some fireworks going on with Jayhawk Slant right now, John. What's this promo that you were telling me about where people can get, you know, free until kickoff? Is that what I was hearing?
Yes, new promo just launching today. It'll be out on the site, and you can get Jayhawk Slant free up until kickoff, which is that first week of September. So just a little something to get people through the summer, and you know, fall camp coming up soon, and Big 12 media days. We'll have some guys down there from Rivals covering Leipold, and you know, hey Randy, this is always I know you and I've always talked about this. This is always one of my worst 3-week spans, because from about late June, okay, through July, you know, probably late July, mid July sometimes, depending on how you look at it, it's always super slow because, you know, now it's a dead period. And this is when coaches get out of the office. You know, people don't understand. Coaches have so little time they can get away. So this is a good time for those guys. They're out of the office. It's a dead period. I'm sure I've heard some of them, you know, I know some of the guys have gone back to try to get their families moved right now from Buffalo to Lawrence. So, you know, it's just it's a time where everybody kind of gets stuff taken care of, but you know, the news slows down definitely. So, you know, trying to plan some coverage to where you know, have something daily can be kind of tricky, but it's all fun. But that's a new promo starting up.
Well, and that's the thing. Whereas this is, like you said, it is a dead period for the program, and there will be a lot less going on because a lot of those guys are out of town. We will continue to have more information coming out. We'll have, you know, we'll be taking looks at local recruits and talking about the guys that the program is involved with, maybe look at some of the coaches. There's always content coming. And as Shay will tell us here in a little bit, it seems like there's news out of the basketball program almost every day right now with that, the continuing evolution. And like we talked about last time, just seeing the effects that the portal is going to have both on football and basketball. It's been crazy. So there's no better time to sign up for The Slant than right now with this promo that gets you free through basically the first week of September. If you've got friends that listen to the podcast or are in the members of Jayhawk Nation that maybe don't know about The Slant, do them a favor. Welcome them into the fold. Tell them to try it out, because I'm fairly sure once they get started, they're not going to leave anytime soon, because we've got the best coverage that you'll find from Shay Wildeboard and John Kirby. John, let's get into this a little bit. We've got to talk some basketball, like we said, and I'm going to turn this over to you, and you're going to bring in Shay, who is downtown just across the urban core from me right now, over at the airport checking out today's big air show in Kansas City.
Thanks, Randy. I'm on the studio line, and we are going to go live to the Blue Angels air show where our man Shay Wildeboer, man, we had some scheduling snafus, but hey, nothing like plugging the studio light in right at the Blue Angel. Shay, how you doing, man?
I'm hot. You want to trade spots?
No, man, I'm in the AC, but I'm gonna be outside in the hot doing some fireworks here later on.
Yeah, dude, it's hot, man. I hope you don't get fined. Those police will be looking for you.
Yeah, Withers and I just talked about that. I know you got the fine not too long ago.
400.
Yeah, 400.
400 bucks, man.
Hey, 400 bucks is worth it to shoot off fireworks, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Kemper sure had a good time, so that's all that matters.
Hey, well, listen, I know you're at the Blue Angels. Appreciate you jumping on. We had to talk some basketball. There's been some stuff go down. Hey, just, I know the other night, Thursday night, big commitment came in. You had the story up right away. Just talk about them a little bit, man.
Yeah, Zuby, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, 6'8", 220. We've got him listed as a center. He told me during his conversation with Bill Self that Bill told him that he was going to watch him at Peach Jam, and maybe he sees him more as a power forward. Man, a strong guy, really does a lot of damage around the rim. I think he'll eventually be one of those guys that can step out a little bit. But the thing that stands out to me is, John, you know, he took five visits, like an all back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. You know, could have stayed home, and Chris Beard, I know, made a run at him at Texas. But, after he talked with Bill Self, he was sold. There's just something about Coach Self that just draws people in. I mean, when you're around him, you feel like you're the most important person. And I think that's how he made Zuby and his people feel. And there was no hesitation. He went home, sat down, talked with family, and boom, that was it. And it's, you know, you've got Grady Dick, you've got Zuby now, you know, possibly some more commitments before the end of the summer. So it's with kind of everything hanging over the program right now, I'm a little bit surprised that they've been able to have as much success as they've had early on.
You said some more recruiting, you know, down the road, maybe in the summer. Give me a couple names to just keep your eye on.
Well, I think Aiden Shaw, who was originally at Blue Valley, now he's at Link in Branson, Missouri. Interesting note, there was a kid that I just started talking with last year, Jordan Walsh from Texas, small forward. I remember my first conversation with him last year when coaches could first contact people. He had not heard from Kansas. He was devastated. He was crushed. And then last night, Curtis Townsend extends the offer. You know, he recently trimmed his list to 10 schools. Kansas was not involved or included. You know, Curtis comes through with the offer, I believe, last night. And now Kansas is one of the schools he's on. And, you know, I don't know how he's going to be able to say no. I know this is a kid that loves Kansas. always had a lot of interest in the program, even when, you know, they didn't offer, even when they weren't really involved. But those are the two names right now I would really watch. And also Mark Mitchell, who's plane jumping over me here, who's also leaving Bishop Miege. I mean, you know, he's visited Kansas. He's really good friends with Grady Dick. They're going to be teammates at Sunrise. They're AAU teammates. I'm really close. And I know Grady told me he was going to recruit the you-know-what out of Mark. So those are three guys really to keep an eye on moving forward.
All right. I know it's not recruiting news, but Jalen Wilson says he's coming back. I mean, that's just like recruiting where you're getting a guy back on your roster. Just, you know, tell me what it means to have him back.
Huge news. A guy obviously that's got experience. A guy that stretches last year was really, 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 really good. You bring him back. And I said this on the board. Haven't really gone publicly yet, but I expect the next announcement to be Remy Martin, that he'll come back. And, you know, obviously the wild card right now is Ochai. I'm kind of split on Ochai. But you throw in Remy, you throw in Jalen, you know, you add Joseph Yosefu, and you've got the guys coming back, Mitch. But, you know, you've got David McCormick, you've got the guys on the perimeter, and Christian Brown. You know, you bring in some guys, you know, Cam Martin and some other guys like that. So, yeah, I love the roster. Would I love Ochai? Would I love to have Ochai on it? Absolutely. But if he doesn't, you know, I don't think it's as big of a loss as it potentially could have been. You know, this is a top two, top three team, and I expect them to compete for a national championship.
You know, Shea, it's so funny because you and I have talked over the years. I cover KU football, who's always, you know, fighting like mad, you know, just to have some success. And then you got KU basketball. But, I mean, over the years, you know, I've always followed basketball, not nearly anything like you have. But, I mean, this roster is starting to look pretty stacked, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the practices are going to be intense. I mean, guys are going to be – I mean, you got Mitch Lightfoot, for example. You got Cam Martin. You've got David McCormick. You know, then you got Jalen Coleman-Lands, who's from Iowa, a transfer from Iowa State. You got the freshman guards. And then you got the guys coming back. So, yeah, practices are going to be intense. You're going to have to fight for minutes. I think last year Bill's hand was kind of forced because he didn't have a lot to work with. And I think this is the kind of team he loves to coach, simply because if someone's not doing what he needs them to do, he can just pull them. You know, get out, I'll try you next time. And this is, to me – this is the perfect team for Bill, simply because he's got options. He can coach them up and doesn't necessarily have to play guys simply because he doesn't have anybody else to play.
Shea, great stuff, man. I appreciate you joining us. I know you're at the Blue Angels. I know you're hot. Find some shade. And, man, I'll tell you what, that should be a fun show today.
Yeah, man, we're looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, Herb.
That's our guy, Shea Wildebohr, joining us from the air show in downtown. Let's go ahead and move on into football now. Kirby, we've had some commitments and recruiting news lately with football. Lance Leipold's new staff starting to get settled into their new offices and get their feet on the ground from a recruiting standpoint. Why don't you kind of get us caught up with the latest additions and tell us where this staff is with their efforts on the recruiting trail?
Yeah, they've picked up a corner that they needed. I mean, that, you know, losing Caron Prunty took them down to five scholarship corners. And obviously in the Power 5 level, hey, in the Big 12, where, you know,
those, in the Big 12,
yeah, those guys are out there where it's up tempo, everything is fast, and you need corners, and you're going to have guys rotating. And even if everybody stayed healthy, Randy, you're always going to need at least a two deep, just with how many snaps guys try to get through in the Big 12. So Webb was a real nice pickup. He's going to join us on the show here in just a little bit. You know, he's 6'4", all right? And you don't see a lot of tall corners. You know, we've always talked that Chevis Jackson at Kansas, the corners coach, has leaned toward the taller athletic corner. But I can tell you this, he's never got anybody who's 6'4". So, you know, Webb recently was at Missouri State with Bobby Petrino there. They won their first conference championship in like 30-some years. He was at Virginia Tech before that. So he'll give them a guy that's experienced. You know, he's a physical guy, you know, big guy. So, you know, that's something that we haven't seen at Kansas in a long time, as a 6'4" corner. And then speaking of corners, they also got a commitment from Jalen Peoples, who's one of the top corners in the Dallas area. And, you know, Chevis Jackson and Emmett Jones did a great job with him. That was a big commitment. And you know, Randy, when he came off his Kansas visit, he said he is going to make a commitment. He's going to announce his commitment. And when that happened, from everything that I was hearing, I forecasted him to KU. And I went out and said, hey, my forecast is in. I'm predicting him to KU. Then he came back out and he slow played the decision. And he says he's going to take a visit to Texas Tech and then Baylor. And when that happened, I got cold feet. Okay. And pretty much a lot of people who covered it were getting cold feet too. Texas Tech was a little bit of a player, but the one that I think scared people was Baylor, because Joey McGuire is the old head coach at Cedar Hill, where Peoples goes to school, very well liked, very well known in that area. So, you know, that was a, you talk about a challenge now. I mean, you talk about winning a recruiting battle. That's what they did with him. And then offensive lineman James Livingston from Michigan, a big kid, 6'7", 275 pounds. Simpson and Fuchs were on him at Buffalo, and that's somebody they really like. You know, I heard somebody told me something interesting on this. They loved him at Buffalo, but they didn't think they could get him, okay? But then that staff goes to Kansas, and they start carrying that Big 12 Power 5 offer now. And I think they may have become more attractive, but I think a lot of it helped, Randy, because this kid already knew the coaches. So he knew what to expect from them as coaches and people. And then once he showed up in Lawrence and saw everything, he gave him his commitment. So those are three nice pickups there here over about the last 7 to 10 days that the Jayhawks have pulled in.
You just mentioned Jeremy Webb, who, like you said, could be an impact player from the jump at a position of need for this team. I'm sending it back to the studio, where you're going to be joined right now by defensive back and the newest Kansas Jayhawk commit, Jeremy Webb.
We are joined by Jeremy Webb, who recently gave his commitment to the Jayhawks. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
You know, I know you had some options to go to other Power 5 programs, but man, just break it down and tell me, what were some of the reasons that the Jayhawks won out for you?
Just the coaching staff, basically, just pretty much just pursuing me pretty hard. Not only wanting me, but pretty much a need at the position for the cornerback role. And then really just kind of being able to come in and lead the younger guys. I know you have a pretty young cornerback group, so I wanted to be able to come in and help with that and really just try to help turn the whole program around. Just kind of like I did this past season with Missouri State, just coming in with a whole new coaching staff and really just getting the program back on the right track.
You know, that was something interesting you told me last time we talked. You know, Bobby Petrino took over down there, and you guys won the first conference championship in like 30-some years. Talk about that, because you said that, you know, you've had the experience now to help take a program and turn it around. Tell me how that can help at Kansas.
Just the same way kind of did this whole past season, you know, just really trying to get all the guys to really buy in, to believe in what we can accomplish at the end of the season, really just taking it one game at a time, really just committing to the whole process as a whole, really just following the coaches and the coaches, whatever goals they have set out for us, and really just pushing towards achieving them.
You know, during the recruiting process, when the Kansas coaches were talking to you, you know, what coaches did you talk to the most, and what was their message to you?
Coach Borland, for sure. Coach Jackson. Coach I hit me up pretty hard. I've talked to the head man a few times. And really kind of just really stressing how they kind of needed someone that could come in and help at the position, someone with experience and also maturity side to the game. It's pretty much helping the whole, not only my position group, but the defense and the team as well, just kind of really getting to where we need to be.
Something you don't see a lot, Jeremy, is 6'4" corners, right? So just tell me about your size and how you use that to your advantage.
I feel like my size really helps me, I guess, be able to do certain things that other guys in my position really can't do. Like, say, for instance, just pretty much being super physical at the line of scrimmage and really just trying to beat up on a receiver and not allowing him to, I guess, get into his route, really throwing off the timing between him and the quarterback. Really just, and also with like jump ball situations, it kind of plays into my favor a lot, just my size, being able to go up against those biggest receivers that most corners will have an issue with, is really kind of second hand to me. Like, it's really natural to me to go up against guys that size and really compete.
And, you know, last question for you is, you know, what are your plans on arriving at Kansas, and just, you know, what are you looking forward to being a Jayhawk?
I'm really just looking forward to really just practice, to be honest with you. I feel like that's kind of a part of the game that a lot of people overlook. I feel like that's really where you kind of build as a team, really get that team chemistry, especially on the back end or the defense as a whole. Really feeling how other guys play, what you can and can't do, really communicating, and pretty much just getting the whole flow of the defense and everything going. So that's something I'm definitely looking forward to, is practicing, learning from all the coaches over there and the new coaching staff, really just soaking up as much information about football as I possibly can.
And then when do you plan on arriving?
Sometime mid-July, probably. If not this upcoming week, then next, the week after that for sure.
All right. Jeremy, man, I really appreciate you joining us on the Inside Slant podcast, and we'll look forward to covering you this year.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you for having me.
All right. Take care, Jeremy.
All right, boss.
Kirby, the coaches seem like they've been really active with the portal, and this is just another example of how it can pay dividends.
Yeah, they were you know, Randy, it was definitely with corners, okay? And we just talked about and touched on the numbers. They needed a corner. I think every corner that went in the portal, they looked at. All right? I mean, if you looked every time a kid announced he's in the portal and he was a corner, somebody from KU was following him, and they were doing their research. You know, and I don't think they're done yet. I think they're still going to be looking in the portal. I think that there is still some things happening and developing. And, you know, it's something to definitely keep our eye on, that I don't think they're done there. Randy, one of the things that I did want to bring up when it comes to the portal, you know, you've got to have people that know what they're doing and be able to monitor that. And I really like what they're doing with the inside recruiting department. You know, it's really the general manager, Rob Iannello, will oversee a lot of things. But, I mean, there's, you know, Grant Murray, who came from Buffalo, who was, you know, Leipold's guy there. Scott Aligo, who just came from Michigan State. Greg Schwarzkopf, who just came from Army. He headed up the recruiting department for Monken at Army. I really like what I've seen and what I've heard from these guys. Sounds like a pretty good team of guys. And, you know, those are the guys who are looking at the portal. But it's just not the portal. When a kid goes in the portal, the biggest thing you've got to do is your homework. Because you've got to figure out why he went in the portal. You know, are there some red flags? You've got to do a lot of background research. And I've got confidence from what I've heard of these guys, they'll get that done. But I think the portal is going to be something that we're going to look at going forward here into this next recruiting class that will play a factor.
I know you said that the program is limited on scholarships for the 2022 class. How do you think they'll handle the overall class in regards to numbers?
Well, I think I've got it pegged at about 14 spots available, okay? And you've got 5 commitments already. So that, you know, that takes you down to 9, okay, left technically in this class. I think of those 9 left, I would not be surprised to see 5 guys from the portal in those numbers. Okay. Now,
whoa.
And I've talked about this and I've talked about this on the message board. And I know sometimes people don't grasp this, because when I tell people this staff doesn't know the program and the personnel yet, I can tell sometimes people roll their eyes, and I know, hey, listen, over the last 11 years we've had a Kansas football, people don't like hearing excuses, but let me tell you something. It's reality. Okay, I don't care what people think and what they say and what they're tired of hearing. This is the truth. And KU football is being reset again. Now, if you look at it, these guys are getting in late. Okay, these coaches, Schoonover got a spring in, okay, as a special teams coordinator. Kotelnicki, Borland, they have never seen a kid play football. So what I mean when this relates to recruiting, Randy, they're going to have a board, okay, and they know their numbers, and they have a wish list of X amount of linemen, linebackers, receivers, however many is that you want to take, but they are not going to know what direction in terms of final numbers until they can see these kids play football, and they can go through and determine, who knows, maybe they come out of this thing and go, you know what? We don't need 3 linemen. We feel really good about some of these young linemen we see. Or maybe they come out of it and go, hey, we were only going to take 1 quarterback, or maybe no quarterbacks at all. Maybe they look and go, We got to find two quarterbacks. I've tried to tell people this. These guys have never seen the players that they're about to coach with a football in their hands. Okay?
That's and, crazy.
Yeah. So the the first time they're going to get to do that is, you know, coming up here in about 4 or 5 weeks when they finally get them in fall camp. So people do have to keep that in consideration when you look at this first year coming up. I know we've talked about the 0 year and things like that, but there's a lot of truth to the fact that these guys are just going to be learning what they have.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about this new staff and recruiting and everything. And, you know, we were talking earlier about how some of the guys are using this dead period to transition their families from Buffalo to Lawrence and kind of get settled in. I was at an event this past Monday down in Salina at the Sharp Performance SP Prospect Camp that had the, you know, really the top 100 plus best players in the state of Kansas. And it was interesting because Coach Fuchs was there with his son. And, you know, as was Coach Kleiman from K-State watching his son, Joe Bob Clemens from Oklahoma State that used to be on the staff at KU and K-State was there with his son. And, you know, those they're not necessarily there recruiting, but, you know, they're paying attention to what's out there. And though I know that Fuchs was watching the offensive line because, you know, it's like I said on the board there, it was an event where they were missing some of the headliners. You know, kids like Avery Johnson weren't there, but Dylan Edwards from Derby was there, and he was the best skill position player out there. And that's a kid that I know Kansas is working hard to stay in touch with him and make sure as his recruitment and his profile, he just continues to add offers. They're staying involved with him as well as big offensive lineman kid that I talked about on the boards from Derby, Camden Beebe from Piper, KCK, who was very good down there. And these are players that the staff, even though they are still so new that some of them are still trying to find, you know, where the water cooler is when they're in the offices, they're doing a good job of getting in contact with these kids early, aren't they?
Yeah, Randy, I think they are. And these guys, I think they understand that they know that this isn't going to get turned around in 1 year, okay? Especially on the local front. Because listen, we've all heard it. We hear it from high school guys all the time. You and I hear it. You know, oh, Kansas just doesn't recruit our players, all this. We've heard all this. But you know what? You got to start.
We've heard that.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, okay? And these guys are starting somewhere, and they're staying consistent, okay? They're doing the Zoom calls with local high school coaches. They just had the barbecue a few Sundays ago where a lot of the good players on the local scene were all there.
Talk a little bit about that, because I don't think many people really understood what kind of event that is. I know other programs have barbecues. I mean, Oklahoma has done it for years. But what was – tell for people that maybe don't know about it, what was the KU Prospect Barbecue?
Yeah, you know, we've done some interviews and still got a couple more to go on those on some guys who've been tough to reach. Edric Hill just told me he wants to get in contact and do a story, so we'll have something on him. But, you know, it was locally, Kansas and Kansas City, of the 2023 prospects. I mean, there's a pretty nice little list there. So what it was, Randy, it was a way to just informally get some people there, okay, get their families there, get them on a tour, get a chance to meet with their position coach, get them a chance to sit down with Leipold, take them around, see the facilities, and then they ended it over in the facility eating barbecue and just talking with the coaches. And these guys know they're not going to turn local recruiting in a month, okay? They're probably not going to turn local recruiting in 6 months. But what I do think this staff understands is they've got to start, and they've just got to stay on it, stay on it, and stay on it. And that's what I think you're going to see these guys do. They know it. I mean, they're going to have like five coaches recruiting the area, which is a lot. I mean, there's a lot of schools that don't put that many coaches. So, I mean, they know the importance of it. And I've said this, 2023 is the class where I think you're going to see the focus really be high school only with these guys. And they're trying to plant the seeds right now, and I think they're doing a good job. And I think they know. I've seen this happen, Randy, with past staffs. Guys come in, they want to recruit locally, and early on they get the feel they're not going to be in it with a certain kid or a group of guys, and they bail, okay? I really have the feeling that these guys understand you can't do that. You've got to stay in it till the end. And even if the recruit doesn't choose you, you were there from the beginning. And what happens is people start knowing that you were there from the beginning and you stayed with it until the end. Even if you didn't get chosen by that recruit, people will read it. They're going to know it. And then they're going to, high school coaches are going to start saying, hey, you know, Kansas, they really stayed on this kid, or they really stayed on my player, and all the way up until the very end. And, you know, you're building relationships with high school coaches during that time. So I'm predicting right now, I'll go out on a limb and say, these guys will do it different than what we've seen over the last 11 years.
Is different better, though, in your opinion? Or is it just a different way of approaching it?
Well, Randy, recruiting is consistency, okay? And I don't think people really understand that just because a guy's a smooth talker, you know, I've had guys in the past say, oh, this guy's a good recruiter, man. He's a good-looking guy. He can talk. He can, you know. Hey, listen, people see through that, okay? I've had parents see through it, recruits see through it, high school coaches see through it. I'll tell you what recruits and parents like. They like consistency, okay? And when a coach says, I'm going to call you at 7 o'clock every Wednesday night, and if you call that kid every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock like you said, that will, hard work and consistency will make up for some guy who's a smooth talker and knows all the right things to say and looks the part and all that. You get a guy who stays consistent and does everything he says he's going to do, and people will notice that. And I think you're going to see some of that with this staff. That doesn't mean guys on this staff can't talk and sell, because they can, or they wouldn't be good recruiters. But you've got to be consistent. I still remember the story when Byron Gazaway committed to KU. And I mean, at the time, he had
My teammates, Kirby. You're going way back.
Hey,
there.
Listen, Byron Gazaway could have chosen any school in the Big 12, Big 10 region. He had his pick. And I remember talking to his dad, and they said that they chose Kansas because they felt they could not tell Darryl Wyatt no. They knew there were other schools that presented a better football option for their son, but Wyatt had out-recruited and out-hustled everybody. In the end, he said, I just can't tell Coach Wyatt no. So he chose Kansas. So there are ways you can stay on kids and sell them and be consistent and win them over.
I agree with you completely. You know, I haven't been doing this for as long as you have, but, you know, I'm coming up on nearly 10 years of covering recruiting here in Kansas and Missouri. And the thing about it, like you said, is it's, if you follow through, if you're going to make a promise, follow through on it. Stay true to your word. Make it clear that they can trust you by doing what you told them you were going to, being consistent, and just being straight with people. I mean, this is the Midwest, and people want honesty, and there's sales involved in recruiting. Like you said, these guys wouldn't be considered good recruiters if they couldn't sell, but people want to believe. They want you to earn their trust, and then they want you to maintain it. And that's, I think, what a lot of these kids look for. And especially, you know, you talk about the first, after almost a year-long dead period because of a global pandemic with COVID-19, and then a coaching change. You know, with the barbecue, you were talking about kids that, you know, probably would have made their first visits to KU this time last year. So this staff is really going to have to work to start to create some, you know, to find their footing and start to create some traction with local kids. But if you just stay, you know, do what you say you're going to do, be consistent and be honest and upfront with people, that will go a long way. Because like you said, it's about building relationships with those coaches. You know, you mentioned Edric Hill. There are multiple defensive linemen at North Kansas City right now that Leon Douglas has that the Jayhawks are recruiting. Everybody knows about four-star defensive tackle Dominique Orange, who is a 2022 kid. But Edric Hill, who is a long, lanky edge defender in 2023, they're going to continue to recruit Dominique Orange up until the very end and hope they have a chance to land him. But if they don't, it's also about they've demonstrated they're going to be there. And that sticks with Coach Douglas, with his staff, and makes an impression on a guy like Edric Hill that's in that 2023 class and the kids behind him that, hey, Kansas recruits, they stay on it. They're serious and they stay true to what they say. That stuff matters because word gets around. And if you don't have, if you don't earn the trust of people in this area by doing it the right way, it will bite you. It absolutely will. I know we're going to touch on this in the upcoming few weeks, John, but just give me your overall feel on Lance Leipold's program. You know, really, we're in the first 60 days that you were talking about the other day in the article that you put up on the site. You know, the program, you've been around other coaches, you've been around the coaches, you've been around their camps, you've seen them, and you've talked to people. Where do you think things are? And I know, like I say, you're going to preview it over the next few weeks, but what do you think about this staff at this point? As somebody that is, as I said in the introduction when I was bringing you on, has covered Kansas football longer than anyone. What do you think right now?
Yeah, you know, Randy, I've got a really good feel, okay? And sometimes, you know, we get caught up into watching things on social media and just a perception that's different than what it used to be. You know, you remember when Mangino came in. I mean, I always think if Twitter would have been around when he was in here. I mean, you know, you would have never seen Mangino on Twitter. I mean, so, you know, if you're – I just like Leipold. I like what he's about. I like mm-hmm. the fact that he
– And you've said that several times. You said that when he was just a candidate for the job. You've been very consistent about the fact that you like him because he's a ball coach, right?
Well, I said from the very beginning, and you can back me up, and I know all the people on the site know this. When we knew that there was going to be a coach's opening, he was the first name that I threw out.
He was.
Okay, he was the first name that I threw out. I think it was Bruce Feldman had just come out and named like the top 120 coaches, and they had him at number 17 overall. Mm-hmm. And I know people that knew him. Okay, I had some connections to him, and everything that I knew about him, I liked. And now I've had a chance to visit with him, okay, since he's come into Kansas. All the things that I've heard and all the things I've seen match up, okay? Everything comes together because when you hear things about somebody, you go, oh, it'll be interesting to see if he's really like that. Well, now that I've had a chance to watch and visit with him and see some of the things he's doing, they definitely match. You know, he's a worker. Hey, listen, summertime, Randy, around those Division I football offices, things slow down. Guys kind of catch their breath. These guys were going like 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the summer, okay? I mean, these guys are working. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of time off. I'm sure some of the guys, you know, are like, man, usually we get a chance to, you know, kick back and start cutting back out of the office at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the summer, but not under Leipold. That didn't happen. So, you know, he's a grinder. He's a worker. He's very organized. I really like the coaching staff. I like the blend of it. I like how they've taken the five new guys, blended them with the five guys that are coming on staff. I like Matt Gildersleeve, the strength and conditioning coach. Had a chance to visit with him a couple times. I like his demeanor. I like the fact that he's real big into the nutrition side as well. We touched on it. I like the recruiting staff. But Randy, this is going to take some time, okay? And the thing that I like about these guys is I get the feel coaching staffs that had come in the past all knew the challenges that awaited them at Kansas, okay? Because when you hire head coaches at Kansas, it always seems like they're coming in at rock bottom, okay? No coach is ever coming in and taking over a 500 program at Kansas and trying to figure out how to make it better. You're always coming into Kansas when they're coming off 0-1 win seasons or something. A lot of coaches come in and think they have ways to reinvent the wheel, and this is how we're going to win at Kansas. We know it's going to be a challenge, but we've got this new special way. I get the feeling with these guys, they know there's no way to reinvent the wheel, okay? They know that it's going to take hard work. It's going to take great coaching, execution, player development, recruiting. They know that there is no special sauce. It's going to take time, and I think these guys are going to do it right. I think they had an incredible idea of what it takes to win at Kansas. Now, that doesn't mean you can do it, okay? We have watched how many times over the years guys come in and never get it done. But I have a feel that these guys, know the system and the path that it takes, and that it's just not going to be something that happens overnight. Like we just talked about, Randy, these guys have never seen any of their players with a football in their hands. Not only that, they're going with a new offense. They're going with a new defense. You're going to have new terminologies. Now, they can help get some of that installed right now, but these guys got in late. So, somebody told me the other day, the three latest coaching hires in the history of college football was Lincoln Riley, when Stoops stepped down at Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley took over, and Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern when Walker passed away and he got the job, and then Lance Leipold. I believe those are the three latest coaching hires in the history of college football. So that goes to show you what he's taken over. The difference is two of those other guys had an idea what was going on inside their program with personnel and how things were structured, whereas Leipold's coming in and taking over something new. So, you know, they're still getting to learn the players. You know, they're still in, there's a process that's going to be in play here. But I really do. I feel very confident, and I have a positive outlook that these guys kind of know what's ahead of them.
Well, that will do it for this holiday edition of the Inside Slant podcast for JayhawkSlant.com. Before we finish up, though, I want to tell everybody about a little something that we've got going on. Obviously, we have a fantastic promo that John mentioned earlier. If you have friends that maybe are big Kansas fans but haven't taken advantage of becoming a member of JayhawkSlant.com, they can join now and do so free until kickoff, which is, I hadn't even looked at my calendar yet, but it's the first week of September. All the coverage on men's basketball and Kansas football, everything changing for Bill Self and Lance Leipold's rosters, previews of fall camp and everything, once everything starts to ramp up, they get it free if they sign up now. Go to the website, check it out, tell your friends that are in Jayhawk Nation, tell your family if you need to, sign up for yourself. If you listen to the podcast and you've never been to our message boards, what are you waiting for? Another thing I want to tell you guys about, something that Kirby, I know you're a big baseball guy. You obviously played baseball, coached a lot of baseball with your sons. I got to do something a few weeks ago with the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum here in Kansas City. I work for a company called Thrivent, and we're a financial services company. We do a lot in the nonprofit field. And we did a virtual evening at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. We called it Batter Up. And what it was is we gave everybody kind of an opportunity to visit the museum virtually without having to walk through the doors at a time. You know, we'd started kind of planning this during COVID, and obviously things have lessened a little bit. We are offering up an encore presentation of that event this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's totally free. It's about an hour long, featuring, like I said, a virtual look around the museum. I got to sit on the field of legends and interview Negro Leagues Baseball Museum president and one of the greatest storytellers in all of sports, let alone baseball, Bob Kendrick, and hear about the history of the Negro Leagues. If you're not doing anything next weekend, register. You can watch it anytime, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Something that I'm super proud of. And I think it's, if you're a sports fan, if you're a baseball fan, if you're just interested in how sports has impacted culture and history in this country, there's nothing like the Negro Leagues. It's something, like I say, that everybody, I would love to, if you can, take a little time, take a look at it. You can find the link on my Twitter feed. I'll also probably post it on the boards about midweek, but would love for you to take a look at it. So with that, for Shea Wildebor, I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to a special July 4th edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.